thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
When the beginning of October, we had a new neighbor move next door to me and Debbie. And after we moved in all the heavy furniture, I went over and introduced myself. And I asked him, was he a member or joining or visiting any local church? And he said he hadn't and wasn't. And I invited him to come to our church. And so at the end of October, he came to our church. Well, he enjoyed it and appreciated. So we were developing a relationship, a friendship. And I invited him to join a Bible study that I co-lead. Well, he came to the Bible study, and again, I could sense something was going on in his life. So I invited him to go to lunch with me. And at lunch, I explained the three stages of a spiritual journey. There's a seeking for Christ, there's a coming to Christ, and there's a growing in Christ. And I explain often that seeking for Christ looks a lot like growing in Christ. And it's important to know, are you really truly still seeking for Christ, or have you crossed over and now you have a relationship with the Lord and you're growing in that relationship? Well, he said, I'm not sure. So I had the privilege of explaining what that second song was about, the gospel. Then I asked him, I said, where would you put yourself on this diagram? Because I drew it out for him. He said, I'm over here. I'm really still seeking for Christ. I said, is there anything keeping you from crossing over right now? He said, no. I said, well, would you like to pray here at this table, or we can go outside to the car, or we can go back to your house or my house? And quote, he said, let's do business right now in your car. I said, all right, let's do that. Went out and he prayed and invited Christ to come into his heart. I love introducing people to Christ, and I love to hear about others introducing people to Christ. And there's no greater passage in the Bible, in my opinion, about these great introductions than the Gospel of John, first chapter, picking up about verse 35 and going to verse 49. Now, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time because I have some folks that are going to live it in front of you. But in this passage, here are some of the introductions. John the Baptist, he introduces, he has two of his disciples, Andrew, and we believe the other one is John because John wrote the Gospel of John, and he introduces them to Jesus. And then that very same day, Andrew goes and gets his brother Peter, and he introduces him to Jesus. Then the following day, we have Philip introducing Nathanael to Jesus. Now, in these short verses, I have found there are three common approaches when it comes, or I should say aspects, three common aspects when it comes to introducing people to Jesus. The first one is there tends to be this personal relationship. Now, I've intentionally skipped over John the Baptist introducing Andrew and John to Jesus. I can come back to that if we have time. But I call him an influencer in their lives. But what I want to point out is these relationships, the first one's going to be family, and the second one's going to be friends. So Andrew introduces his brother, family member, introduces him to Jesus. And then Philip introduces Nathanael. They're friends. Andrew and Peter, they're family. Philip and Nathanael, they're friends. And the second thing is there's this powerful story. Now, the story that John the Baptist proclaims is Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The story is always about Jesus, but it can be packaged in different ways. So Andrew goes to Peter, his brother, his family member, he says, we have found him, the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. And then he has this personal invitation, and he says, come and see. Now, he says, the scripture says, he brought him to Jesus. Then we get to Philip and Nathanael. Philip says, we have found him whom Moses and the prophets write. He's referring back to the Old Testament scripture. Moses told all about him, the great prophet in Deuteronomy chapter 18, and all the prophets proclaimed, foretold, prophesied, there's a coming Messiah. And then he says, come and see. Now, these three common aspects, they're not always true in every case, but they're often true in many cases when there's this great introduction of someone to Jesus. So let me review, and then I want to bring up three people who are going to demonstrate through their stories these three common aspects. So the first one, there is often a personal relationship. So as they talk, I want you to begin thinking, do I have a friend or a family member that I need to introduce to Jesus? I want you to think about that. And don't be surprised if the Holy Spirit prompts you with a name or brings to your mind someone that he wants you to invite. And then the second aspect, there's going to be a powerful story. That story is the gospel, and it can be packaged in many different ways. I like to communicate it through one verse of scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16. I love that verse because it very clearly communicates the powerful story of Jesus Christ. And then there's always this persuasive invitation. What I like to say is, do you see anything keeping you from crossing over right now? And I leave it up to them. It's not high pressure, but I want it to be persuasive, winsome, not manipulative, but persuasive. Manipulation's not of God. Persuasion's very biblical. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So with that in mind, let me introduce my three friends this morning. And if you would welcome them, those who are here in the house and those who are viewing through live stream, if you'd welcome my three friends, Boyd Blanchard, if you'll come up, please, Brian Boyer and Frank Casey. Now, so Brian Boyer is president of Boyer Construction. Frank Kaysen is president of the Kaysen Development Group. Boyd, you're just a vice president. So what's the deal?
I'm actually fourth generation at a family business.
Okay, so?
So I'm working up to be on the same level as these guys.
All right, so your great-granddaddy
yes, sir.
Was president, your granddaddy was president, your daddy's president. Big shoes to fill.
It is indeed.
So, well, Boyd, let's start with you. Tell us your story. And as he tells his story, thank you, Brian. As he tells his story, I want you to listen to these three aspects that we saw in Scripture. Look for the personal relationships, listen for that powerful story, and then look for that persuasive invitation. All right? A personal relationship, a powerful story, and a persuasive invitation. How did you cross over into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Well, first, really, my relationship with Christ started at an early age. And one of the things that, this is actually my third time sharing my testimony. Answer that question, it was May 27th of last year that first time I met Bill Jones, set up through a lunch with Frank, and at the end of the lunch, I found myself having a really strong conviction to the conversation with Bill and Frank, and found myself praying for my salvation after that lunch in my car. Was that 6 months
ago? Is that exciting? All right, so May 27th, what was your life like before that date?
Bill, my life, and really starting back, as I reflect on my testimony, you got to start at the beginning, I think, to really understand who you are. And for me, I've been born blessed beyond belief in so many ways. And so so much good in my life, and also throughout my childhood, I had some experiences that were pretty traumatic, and so I've got a lot of pain as well. And so I think for me, really balancing.
I told what company his family company is. It's Blanchard Machinery. Now, how many of you know of the big yellow Caterpillar bulldozers and just these big pieces of machinery? If you go off campus to I-20, go east, turn left, and look on the right, there's a beautifully landscaped, that's one of their locations, and they have all the Caterpillar franchise locations in the state of South Carolina, about 700 employees. So,
yes, sir. Thank you. So again, being born into that situation, I absolutely recognize the blessings I had. But as I reflect on my life, I think true with many is you still have those traumatic experiences of the pain that you go through. You know, for me, it was two divorces. One initially led on by an affair between my mother and another individual, bankruptcy, substance abuse, and ultimately
your substance abuse?
No, my mother's. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, when I was 18 years old, I tried to have an intervention, knowing that I was then going to college and wouldn't be able to play the role I had the last couple of years. And once that was really unsuccessful in a very dramatically bad way, I really closed the chapter on that part of my life. And with that, that was what my current relationship was with Christ and what I had seen it as. It really...
So you had all this great stuff going, a big business, probably had lots of resources, but at the same time, the family went through a bankruptcy.
My stepfather went through a bankruptcy, not my
business.
Dad.
Yep. Okay. And there was some drug issues. And
alcohol abuse. Yeah.
Alcohol. And there were two divorces. So that had to be a lot of pain.
It was. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And still struggle with the positive and with all the duality of life. There's a lot of good and there's also a lot of bad and pain. And I think for me, I struggle with that. And when God was not a real foundational part of my childhood, as I reflect, I really shut the book on everything that was happening and also my relationship with God. And it really wasn't until I met my wife, who my wife is Greek Orthodox, and faith and family are the two most important things in that community. And it certainly was true for her personally and her family. And so for me, my first exposure to what God can do when it is in your life and you have a relationship with Jesus, it really opened my heart and had an opportunity similar to Frank and Brian. We were invited to do a couples Bible study with a gentleman, Cubby Culbertson, who is a very big influential evangelist as well here in town. And that being invited, I had never done a Bible study in my life, and probably if it wasn't because my wife wanted me to do it, I wouldn't have done it. And it was just accepting that first invitation. And doing so with an open heart was really the first moment I felt that I was being called.
So God was drawing.
Absolutely.
Fast forward to the time with Frank and Brian.
Yeah, and then I think even as importantly is has been the relationship I have with Brian and Frank. And for me, I had an admiration for these guys from a professional standpoint, and ultimately really first made the connection with Frank. And Frank and I are in a Bible study now every week, there's a gathering that they've been doing for quite some time, and they'll speak to it, but it's essentially a gathering of men of all walks of life, but to really talk about, talk and ask questions about Jesus, about God, that may not be the most comfortable that you would ask in a church setting.
So a bunch of men getting together.
A bunch of men getting
once
together.
Once a month in the evening.
Absolutely.
And you attend this.
And I did.
And who was kind of the focus of attention that night?
That night.
Other than Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. That night, actually, Brian shared his testimony. And it was something that really touched me. While our stories were different, the theme of pain and recognition and really commitment to building that foundation of his life upon faith and that to spread to his family, it was something that I was really able to relate to. And I think for me, when you don't grow up and have, I call it maybe technical or scripture knowledge or just that foundation, to see someone else have it or speak to it and that you could relate to, is life changing.
So how did you and Frank and I end up at lunch together?
I think Frank saw something in me, and Frank absolutely invested in me. And I think that's something that I'll never forget or take for granted. And I think Frank saw that my heart was opening and saw that we had a lot in common professionally and personally, and he knew that he wanted me to have an opportunity to meet you, and I came into that lunch with no agenda, no plan, no idea what was going to happen, but just with an open heart that was going to go wherever that conversation was going to go, and ultimately leading to me realizing I was seeking God, not growing in God, and that I wanted to grow in God.
I want to transition to Brian, but what's the main way your life has changed since May 27th?
I think for me, it's still accepting that the positive, the highs and lows of life, but also for me, it's the relationship I have with God and knowing that I want to build the foundation as I continue to grow my family and confidence in my faith is really just the foundation starts with my relationship with God.
There's a verse I prayed this morning for speaking of family, that I prayed for my children and my children's children, Isaiah 44:3. It says, Lord, would you pour out your spirit on our offspring, your blessing on our offspring's offspring, both now and forever. And it's exciting to see the change in your life. And I'll never forget May 27th. Thank you. Let's thank Boyd. So Brian, you're up in front of this group telling your story. Would you tell us your story?
I'd be happy to, Bill. So my story is a little bit longer. I had 37 years of wandering in the wilderness. But luckily that was 7+ years in the rearview mirror. So similar to Boyd, I was fortunate to grow up in a very loving household. I was baptized as a Catholic in an army hospital or army base in San Francisco. My mother was a devout Catholic, but I grew up here in Columbia. And the only real church influence I had in my life as a kid was my best friend. His family, they were very, very godly people, and I would spend the night with him, go to church, and that was really the only influence. My own father wouldn't go to church. My mom has since incredibly crossed over, and she's actually a leader in our church. But my path, I went to Dreher High School right downtown Columbia. I was fortunate enough to go to United States Military Academy at West Point. So I went off there and I graduated.
Because you couldn't get into CIU.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for clarifying that, Dr. Jones. I did not have what it took. So I was fortunate enough to graduate from West Point in 1999, and I did some Army schooling and went to Fort Bragg as my first assignment, and then I was always somewhat of an overachiever. So in May of 2001, I tried out for and was accepted into the 75th Ranger Regiment, which is part of the Special Operations Command. So young little First Lieutenant Boyers, you know, down in Savannah, Georgia, trying to figure out this new world that he just stepped into, because it was a lot different than where I'd come from as a paratrooper at Fort Bragg. Well, then you all know how the story goes. So 9/11 happens, and in the spring of 2002, I find myself fighting in the mountains of Afghanistan. I was a field artillery officer by trade, and the Ranger Regiment trains us to direct airstrikes. So we'd be, you know, it's an infantry unit, but I'd have guys in each platoon, and I'd be right there with the company commander. But it was exactly what you saw on TV. I mean, it was fierce fighting, and And frankly, I absolutely loved it at the time. I absolutely loved it. Came home and we rested up for a few months and then turned right back around, went to Saudi Arabia and got prepared for the invasion of Iraq. So then did the invasion of Iraq, came home. And so I think I was 25 then. So my 25th and 26th year, out of those 24 months, I'd spent, call it 18 of them fighting. And at the time, I didn't really recognize the impact that was going to have on me. And, probably one of my biggest sources of sin during that whole period of my life is I thought I knew everything. I thought I could forge the best path for myself. I was extremely selfish. So I decided to get out of the Army and came back to Fort Jackson, finished my last year, and I started my MBA. So I got my MBA from South Carolina. And then transitioned into the private sector. I started developing real estate and building houses with my brother-in-law. And, it was just kind of bouncing around. I thought I knew that the war was going to be over. At some point I met my wife during that period. We got married, and it was probably during that period where I have the clarity of looking back now, but I was really struggling. I'd spent 3 years with an organization that was always doing something very exciting. Even in peacetime, the training we did, we were jumping out airplanes at night. We were, shooting live ammunition almost every day. I mean, it was just about the most exciting job I could ever dream of. And then all of a sudden, poof, I'm back in Columbia, South Carolina, in a classroom and then in an office, I was used to being in charge of a lot of people. I wasn't in charge of anybody. And it really created a vacuum in my life. And you combine that with the survivor's guilt, because as the wars kept going, my classmates and teammates from West Point, all those Rangers I'd served with, that fight continued for them. And, it really snowballed when some good friends and some of my Rangers got killed and I was already back here. And it really put me into kind of a tailspin. There's no doubt I struggled with depression. I would self-medicate with alcohol. I certainly was not a good husband. We didn't have children, or maybe we just started to have children then. But look, similar to what Boyd shared, my sister had gone through this couples course that Cubby Culbertson has. And Cubby does a great job when he has couples go through, because he only has, five at a time maybe. He'll ask people like Boyd or Frank, hey, who do you suggest would be good? Well, my sister, by the grace of God, suggested that my wife and I go. So similar to Boyd, I was reluctant. I didn't want to go. I knew better. I could figure all this stuff out. I knew our marriage was not in good shape, but I could fix it just like I'd probably tried to fix everything in my life. So I meet Cubby Culbertson, and I was probably at the depth of my pain at this point. But Cubby recognized something in me, and I'd stay after and I'd ask him things like, Cubby, how did I make it through? I'd even draw it out. I said, Cubby, there was an RPG that landed, right there. And the guy where the piano was, he had 37 puncture wounds in him. And I was right here, and I was unscathed. And his answer to me was, Brian, the Lord has a bigger plan for you. And so that started that seeking stage that Bill talked about. Fast forward, Cubby lines up a luncheon with Bill, and I cross over. And it was I'll call it my summer of crossover, because in that same period, Cubby started a subsequent Bible study, and who was I paired with, who was my partner, was Frank Kaysen. So Frank and I kind of knew each other enough to say hello, but I recognized the same thing I saw in Cubby. I knew that Cubby had something that I didn't. I certainly knew Bill did, but now all of a sudden I have a guy who I admire, who's similar in age.
What, you didn't admire Cubby and me?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me.
You finally found somebody that you admire, but go ahead. That's all right.
That I can relate to. That I can relate to.
We have counselors here at CIU, but go ahead.
That's probably why I didn't get admitted, So that planted the seeds and that slowly forged a friendship that Frank and I are very fortunate to share today. But during that summer of the crossing over, I went through a true surrender where I realized that all the things in my life that had hardened kind of turned my heart just black and dark. You know, the death, the destruction, the stuff I saw, the stuff I did, but also the stuff I did to myself once I came back home. I got down on my knees and cried my eyes out. I'm talking about snot dripping from your nose. A true, y'all know what I'm talking about, a true surrender of everything that had ever left a negative impression on my heart. And I fundamentally...
You are a totally different person now, Brian.
I fundamentally changed. I mean, when I look back at pictures then, I can tell that something was wrong with that guy. He was burdened. He was lost. And the nice thing that's been able to share, and I'll get to the testimony that I shared that Boyd heard, but all those guys in the Army, those Rangers who stayed in, a lot of them retired, my West Point classmates, when I reconnect with them, they look at me and they say, Brian, you're different. And when they want to know why, I mean, what a great message to be able to share, that hey, you too can find this peace.
A powerful story.
So, yes. Thank you. So, Frank has two other brothers, but one of his brothers, William, and I are also very good friends. And this Back Porch Gospel that Frank and William and his cousin put together, it was going on at their homes. They would alternate homes. Well, a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, Frank, William, myself, and a couple others, we bought a small farm right outside of Columbia, and it has we redid the barn. It has a great, it's a great venue for this Back Porch Gathering. And so William, Frank's brother, is kind of in charge of setting it up, and you know, last minute, he calls me one morning. We did it on a Thursday. He calls me like at 7:30. I was dropping my children off at school. He said, Brian, would you mind giving your testimony tonight? And I just kind of, sure. And then after I hung up, I realized the severity of what he had just asked. Because I had given my testimony before, but in a 30-second, very much abridged version. And I prayed about it, and the Lord just spoke to me, Brian, the more vulnerable you show yourself, the more impactful it'll be. And so that night at Narrowgate, I shared a little bit more, probably even more detail of what I'm doing today. I thought my story was, I still don't think it's that special. You know, it's my story, but I didn't think it would impact anybody else. And you never know when the Holy Spirit's going to work, because, you know, obviously it resonated with Boyd, and there were several others. My next door neighbor who I'd invited to go with me tonight, he accepted the Lord, I think within a week. I had no idea that sharing your story, how it could possibly impact somebody else.
Let me stop you there. You're going to say one more thing?
Well, I was just going to say that the other thing that I've gained is the positive impact you can have on others leading them to the Lord. But this is probably borderline selfish, but you know, one of my most biggest motivations, other than sharing it with, you know, the gospel with people like Boyd, is my children. And I don't want them to wander 37 years in the wilderness. When Cubby Culbertson asked them one day to write down who the most godly person in their life when they were a child, I want them to write my dad. And so
God's so changed you, my friend. Another verse I pray for my family, and as I speak it, just receive it as a prayer for your families. Isaiah 61:9, it says, may all those who see our offspring recognize them as those whom God has blessed. And he's going to bless them, my friend. Frank, we just have a couple minutes left. This ministry that you guys have, it's impacting a lot of people. There are folks in here this morning. There are a lot of people watching, perhaps no telling where in the world. They want to make an impact for Christ. Just walk us through. How did you get the vision? What steps of faith? What have you learned about this ministry that God's given you?
Well, we're all up here because of the work of Christ in our lives. We're all also up here because of the work of Dr. Jones in our lives, and he's big on orders of progression, so he purposely set this up, but he probably should have been here because it really, he started something, this work.
This through, is the order that I love
you
guys.
Through all of so. It. Yeah.
I knew that.
So and I grew up in a Christian family and was not saved though until I was 20. But at 22 or 23, after I graduated and started working, I got introduced to Dr. Jones, Cubby Culbertson, and a couple of other men that was incredibly fortunate to learn from, to have disciple me in many ways. But one of the things that they had at the time was a ministry that they called the Round Table, and it was a group of men. Somewhere in the 13 to 20 men would gather and sit around a table and ask questions to two pastors.
I'm off. Time's up.
Anyways, that's a wrap.
Make your conclusions from there. So that ministry incredibly impacted me in a lot of ways. And I think looking back, a lot of that is learning what I was not, like what piece of, I think you gave, like gives like a five-step process sometimes that who I'm not, but also who I am. I don't believe that I have the evangelistic capabilities and abilities of Bill Jones, and I believe that is fine. It doesn't mean we don't need to be evangelizing or sharing, but one of the things that the Lord has impressed upon me over the last few years is to use the platform that he's given to me. And I have a unique platform, and so does Brian, and so does Boyd.
You see your position in the marketplace as a platform for ministry.
Yeah, and it wasn't until I got out of college and that Dr. Jones explained the difference between a professional minister and a ministering professional. That had a huge impact on me, seeing people come to Christ through this ministry. So as Brian said, a couple years ago, my brother William, my cousin, and I said, let's start this round table over again. And quite honestly, we started it, and the first four of them were fine, but we realized it was kind of a bit of a failure, if you can say that. And so I give my cousin Joe all the credit. He said, we got to change this. It's got to be done for our friends, our group, our generation, and it's got to be totally different. And so we did. So we started doing it on the back porch of my house and then my cousin Joe's. And as Brian said, yeah, maybe 6 to 8 months, 9 months ago, something like that, a year ago, we switched it to this new venue. So our tagline, if you will, is we want to provide a comfortable atmosphere to talk about uncomfortable things. And so we have two, they are pastors. They are pastors from two different churches. We actually had two separate pastors, both of whom who got called elsewhere out of the city. So we got two new ones, Brad Bird and David Gentino, who are both incredible at the question answering piece.
Are graduates.
Are both graduates?
Of CIU.
And so. Both graduates of CIU. And have taken the torch and run with it. But so that's where the ministry is today. And it's 15 to 25 guys on average that, come. It's every month, pretty much.
And how many folks have come to Christ since last summer?
Since last summer.
Wow, approximately.
Yeah. Probably close to 10.
Yeah, at least 10 to 12.
The biggest thing you've learned, and then Dr. Raven, would you come up and get ready to close us in prayer? What's the biggest thing you've learned in this ministry endeavor?
You know, on the way out here, I was thinking about John 9, verse 25, when the blind man says, whether this man is a sinner or not, I do not know, but this I do know. I was, once was blind, and now I see. And there were two pieces of that impacted me. One is, He just shared with them what he knew. He didn't share some deep doctrine. He didn't go through the 5 points of Calvinism with them. He just said to this group in front of him who were way more learned than he was, y'all have asked me a question. All I can tell you is I know that I was blind, now I see. And then he starts to get into, you know, do y'all want to be his disciples too? And they go crazy on him. But that's the second piece that stuck out to me, is that we can't control the reaction. We cannot control the response that happens. But we can, the three of us and everyone else, use the platform that God's given to us to share the story that he's worked through for each of us. These guys have much cooler stories than I do, much more amazing. But John Piper said in a sermon I heard recently, your belief is a miracle, and that's worth sharing. It's a story worth sharing. So that the sharing of stories is the biggest shift that has happened in our in the Back Porch Gospel conversations. That we started with questions, and now we have stories.
Personal relationship, powerful story. That's Jesus, and a persuasive invitation.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.